Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Mike Valeni. Did you know the Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, it's also a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Valeni Show with Rico, hit the follow button to get every minute of this show your way and on your time.
All right, so it is Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket, since I know what Gator did last night. Kang, did you do anything exciting last night?
That's just me.
I think you got to let people know it on the joke there, Doug.
Yeah, we do. I mean, it's uncalled for. I enjoyed it.
Well, Gator, we know you had an incredibly exciting single life, bachelor life last night. That's why you just moved on to me.
Who chose Maury Wisely? When all was said and done.
You.
All right, thank you.
Not from my point of view.
Yeah, it's funny because we did this thing every once in a while where the team's getting blown out. And you go, what did they make it flip to? When the Tigers had the bases loaded and one out and went strikeout, I flipped to the Michigan State-Indiana Big Ten soccer game.
Of course you did.
Which was also 1-0, but it was more exciting.
1-0.
Sorry. Gator, you tell the people what you did last night.
I was at Little Caesars Arena watching the Red Wings take on the Blackhawks in the first preseason game. Not embarrassed. My rationale was that they were going to play a bunch of the younger players, and I wanted to see those younger players because I'm not likely to see them in the regular season. And, oh, by the way, Connor Bedard was playing for Chicago. So
it's funny because, you know, I'm texting you guys my level of frustration with the Tigers, which is at an insanely high level right now. And you start live texting us what's going on the Red Wing game.
Yeah. Like, just trying to joke around with you because I was absolutely paying attention. I had the Tigers game on my the app anyway, on the ESPN app on my phone, watching the, you know, the animated play by play. And I wasn't alone. Everybody on either side of me was doing the same thing. So we're all like, who's got the update faster with what's happening? And when they had the bases loaded and one out, I'm excited. And then, yes, strikeout. You're like, you got to be kidding me. That just happened. And then Riley Green hits the solo home run. They show the home run to the crowd. The crowd goes nuts. And then what the hell happened? What the hell was that sixth inning?
It was one of the worst innings I can remember in recent history. And I'm trying. I don't know that this is. I'm asking whether or not I'm a prisoner of the moment. I am more frustrated with this Tiger team than I ever was with the Lions in the last 35, 40 years.
I can agree with that.
I feel like this collapse is the standard of which all future collapses will be measured against.
I don't think the Lions had, like, the Lions might, they could play well and then not play well the next week. It was like a week to week type thing, but I don't remember them being like, hey, start the season 8-2 and finish up 0-6. Maybe it did happen. I just don't remember it.
I think it did happen.
Probably, or something like that. But this is, I mean, you have to go like halfway through the season, see how good you were, and then you have to be absolute worst the rest of the way. Like, I was thinking about this last night, and I wrote it in my notes that for people that were critical of Scott Harris for not doing more at the trade deadline. And I understand. I was one of those people that, but maybe not as vocal about it. I wish that they had gotten a little bit more bullpen help. And that was, you know, maybe about it. And if the price is too high for other players, fine, so be it. And don't get involved with that. Don't give up your top four prospects. I was fine with that. Let's go. Because at the time, the Tigers were, what, 20-something games over 500? They weren't a threat. Like, the thought at the time, at the trade deadline.
What do you mean they weren't a threat?
Well, they weren't a threat to fail like they're doing. At the time of the trade deadline, the narrative was, you got to do what you can to put yourself over the top to win the World Series. It wasn't, oh my God, you got to do something because I foresee an epic collapse. Not one person foresaw this. You can say that, okay, I didn't think the team was prepared to win the World Series, but you cannot say that you saw this coming, because you didn't, because nobody did. Nobody saw this epic collapse. What you thought would happen was they'd get to the playoffs and they would run out of gas because they just didn't have enough to compete with the big boy hitters of the Yankees or the pitching staff that you know one of these other teams have or whatever. But you did not think this team was going to go and play as poorly as they have and now threaten to actually miss the playoffs. Not one person saw this happening. And that's why I think it's as frustrating as anything else, because this is a collapse that is unforeseen. It's not like you had a rash of injuries to your top players to provide.
So, okay, I'm not sure that I agree with you that nobody saw this coming.
Oh,
because
come on, Doug.
We had a guy call and say he made a bet on the Indians, the Guardians, whoever the F they are, that he made a bet on them to win the division. So, you know, I could see most of your point I agree with. People were talking about they're not good enough to win the World Series.
Yes.
I don't think people at the trade deadline when they didn't make a move, they were disappointed that they didn't add to win the World Series. I will agree that not very many people probably thought, if anybody thought, yeah, now they're going to miss the playoffs. But I'm sure we're going to get it. I knew it was going to happen. I know we're going to get that call. And you're awesome, but that's great. Yeah. I'll just say this. I don't know that I've ever been more frustrated. I think in my life, the most frustrating sports moments of my life, where we've all dealt with a ton of losses. And sometimes, you know, they're on the scale of disappointment. Pure and utter frustration is a different thing. As a kid, Ann Arbor kid growing up, it was losing Rose Bowl after Rose Bowl after Rose Bowl. The stupid New Jersey Devils and their left wing lock is a time I remember being insanely frustrated. The Lions aggravated me. I think this is the most frustrating team and most frustrating stretch I can remember in my lifetime. And I try not to be prisoner of the moment. You guys know me. I mean, look, I short-term results, long-term conclusions. This is a longer-term stretch of play where what they have managed to seed to Seattle, to the Guardians, maybe to Houston here, is it's like disgusting. I can't look at it with my eyes. It's terrible to watch this.
What makes it worse, okay, what makes it even more unbelievable that you can't, no way, nobody, anybody saw this, all right? I think the Tigers may have had the best record in the American League going into the break there, the trade deadline. Because I believe they were 64-46, I think. That's July 30th, and I thought that the deadline was the 31st. 64-46, 18 games above 500. What nobody saw coming was that Cleveland would be the team to catch them. Nobody saw that either. Cleveland was getting rid of players. They were trading guys.
I mean,
I
hate to say it. They're the Tigers from last year.
Well, right.
They're the exact same thing.
You know,
and we are the Twins.
Nobody saw it last year.
No, and it's twofold, right? Because the Tigers had to collapse, and Cleveland had to catch inferno-like fire, and they have. And this is?
And this is the same frustration that Red Wing fans have had, but it's cumulative. Like, take the last three years going into March with the Red Wings, with the hope that you had, mm-hmm. You have to add all of those together, and you get where the Tigers are now.
I don't even know if I add them all together, I'm as frustrated. This is the most frustrated I think I have ever been watching any of our Detroit teams, and I might be prisoner of the moment. The Lions never frustrated me this much. They never frustrated me.
They were like bad all around to frustrate you, but not good, great, and then epically bad.
Okay, a lot of people want to talk, and we'll get to your phone calls, and we got the college football blitz thingy today at 10:30. Coming up at 11:50, Gator, I am at stage three with something as it pertains to the Tigers. Stage three. I'll explain at 11:50. It's Carson Anderson. Your calls are next. 248-539-9797. Hey, look, man, it's a frustrating day, and it sucks because it comes right after. I mean, it comes right after how great yesterday was. How great was yesterday?
It's pretty great. Very, very, very great, actually.
248-539-9797. We'll have the best of what Dan Campbell told the morning show coming up.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Rico Beard. Did you know the Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, but also a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Catch the full episode, listen to individual hours, or just jump straight to the highlights. Open up your favorite podcast app, search for Valeni Show with Rico, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way on your time.
Oh boy.
That's interesting. That didn't frustrate me like this is. And what Dan Dickerson wanted to say, this is un-effing believable. And that inning, it was like they didn't hit the ball out of the infield, man. They scored three runs on cue shots.
Kwan reached on bunt single to catcher. Martinez hit sacrifice bunt. Martinez to first on throwing error by Tarek Skubal. Martinez to second. Kwan to third. Ramirez reached on infield single to third. Kwan scored. Martinez to third. And then you had the unfortunate hit in the face,
dude,
which was awful. The foul ball right up in the face.
I feel like that was a moment where I was like, they're done. We just got a text here from someone said, have you ever had this little hope for a team tied for first place in your life? No.
No.
Never have. And that's why I think this is the most frustrated I've ever been with a Detroit sports team, any of the sports teams I ever wanted to win. I keep thinking the Lions never frustrated me this much all those years.
Yeah. I mean, bunt error, you know, guy gets hit in the face. You have wild pitch. You've got a balk, everything going on. Right. And I love Tarek Skubal. I did not believe him for half a second when he said after the game that he wasn't rattled.
No, it's
okay. And everybody in the world would say, gotcha. It's okay, dude. I totally feel for you.
Yeah.
To have to pitch again after that happens, your reaction said it all when you threw the glove away and covered your face. Like, what just happened? Yeah, we're all there with you, man. It's okay to come out afterwards and say, yeah, it took me a while to get my bearings back, and I could make some pitches again. But I mean, the next pitch was a wild pitch.
Well, yeah, and then I mean that was a few minutes after he long snapped our division championship hopes over the punter's head into right field. And I think that was an example of the pressure getting to him. When did you try that?
He said he tried it once before in Miami. And they said it was the same result. And I'm watching this play last night, and I think he could have made the play if he fielded it, turned and threw.
I know.
I think he had way more time than he thought that he had. which is unfortunate because of what ends up happening. Maybe all this other stuff doesn't, but it was, well, they scored three runs in an inning without getting it out of the infield. Wow.
Ray and Canton, you're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Ray.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's
all right,
up,
Ray?
Hey, with the way things have kind of fallen apart so drastically, they had such a great chemistry. Everybody seemed to be having a good time, and they were winning and everything. And now you don't see, there's no smiling faces, everybody's down. Do you think there's some kind of turn in the clubhouse? Is there any kind of rumbling or something happening that things went south?
Ray, I think all things are on the table. I do not believe at all in they were winning because they were having fun and they should try to have fun. I think when you are having fun because you are winning. I've heard that for years about teams. You know, when their things are going well, everybody's laughing and joking and having a good time. They looked like they were having a good time after Riley Green's home run, and it all fell apart. Now, is it possible that something is wrong in the clubhouse? It's possible. All things are on the table because this thing is epic. It's historic. It literally is historic.
I can't believe that there isn't somebody in there that, you know, is stepping up, that, you know, calls people aside or whatever they need to do to get people straightened out.
I can't believe AJ doesn't have the answers. He's completely flummoxed, and he's wearing it on his sleeve. You can tell. Post game last night, you could tell. Matt on a cell, you're on 97 on the Ticket. What's up, Matt?
Hey, good morning. So hey. It's funny because, Doug, I was also watching the soccer game. And Peter Sudan was the only one who scored. I mean, it is soccer, but it was better than watching the Tigers. I got 3 points. One, the morning show, God was talking about blame, and he's right. Players don't get enough blame. I think a lot of the blame should go to the players because, yes, while you can blame management, they are not on the field. They're not the ones on the field playing the game. The players are, so they have to take a lot of the blame. And Skubal, this is just my opinion, I really don't think he's a $400 million player. I don't think he should be offered something like a contract like that. And then my last opinion, which is probably unpopular and I'll get a lot of hate for, I don't think they deserve to go to the playoffs. And I really hope they don't make
it. Well, they're not playing like it. I mean, they're going to have to win some games to go to the playoffs. And baseball's so wildly streaky. If they don't win games, they're not going anyway. If they win games, you start to look better. As far as the Skubal thing is, yeah, Skubal's not helping himself here. He was still really good. And then it was kind of a fluky inning. But last year he started game five against Cleveland and they lost. And they had kind of that game last week, that Thursday afternoon game Skubal started. We had got to win it and he gave up home runs and they lost. Given the team isn't scoring a ton of runs for him, so it's not all his fault. I think his frustration is probably having to feel like he needs to be perfect. But so I still hope they re-sign Skubal because this is more to me on the hitters. And as far as the blame game, I'm actually going to wait till the season's over before I go fully deep into it. But there's a lot of people, for a lot of people, this is trending the wrong direction, including AJ Hinch and Scott Harris and specific players. Hal and Troy, you're next. Hi, Hal.
How you doing, guys?
All right, Hal.
Okay.
I just called to critique Gator. And I say that affectionately, that I called in when the Tigers still had 40 games to play. And I don't know what their record was at the time, but they were coming off that losing streak, and the trade was done, and the trades had seemed to be taking hold and seemed to be doing okay. And you guys were making the point of those calling in and saying, "Hey, is the team stronger now or are they weaker?" And I called in and I said, "Look, they're a 500 team. They're going to maybe win 90 games, and they're going to be down in a rat race with Cleveland the last six games of the year. You guys gave me so much crap about being negative, and I wasn't trying to be negative. I was just saying that the Tigers are a 500 team back then, and they haven't been 500, but
yeah, they're not going to be a 500 team.
I'm sorry?
They're not going to be a 500 team.
No, but I was saying for the last 40 games. And, you know, and they're going half of them. They're going to maybe get 90 wins, 91 wins, and they're going to be in a fight with Cleveland. And so I wasn't predicting, and I didn't – I guess I sound like I'm calling up to make an I told you so type of thing. It's just that they never struck me as being.
Did you at the time think they were going to miss the playoffs?
I did not.
Okay, that's all Gator said. That's literally all Gator said.
But they're going to miss the playoffs?
No, he said, I don't believe.
Nobody that says anything after the trade deadline, nobody was saying they weren't going to make the playoffs.
They were saying they should have done better. They're not going to win the World Series.
Right. But not one person was thinking, well, they're not going to make the playoffs because they didn't make this.
His point.
Yeah, they were 16 or 18 games above 500 at the trade deadline.
I stand corrected. I just said they're going to be in it's going to go down to the wire with Cleveland at the end of the year. And
Cleveland was going to be the team that was going to spring up, then God bless you, but I don't believe that. Because nobody thought Cleveland was going to be the team that was going to rise up after they traded away after they lost a key bullpen arms.
I mean, look, let's be clear on what he said. You might have been disappointed at the trade deadline. Gator said that if you thought at the trade deadline they were going to flat out have a historic collapse and miss the playoffs, he doesn't believe you. I think there were some people out there that believed it, but that you don't think so. We do the college football blitz thingy next and more of your Tiger calls. I'm at stage 3 with something as it pertains to the Tigers and this epic collapse. We'll get to that today at 10:50 on 97.1 The Ticket. Hello and welcome to a frustrating day here in Detroit sports. It's hard to believe it. 24 hours ago was so much fun talking about the Lions, and we're going to get back to the Lions, but people should and get their opportunity here to vent about what's going on with our Detroit Tigers. But every Wednesday at this time, we do the college football blitz thingy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Rico Beard. Did you know the Valenti Show with Rico is not just a radio show, but also a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Catch the full episode, listen to individual hours, or just jump straight to the highlights. Open up your favorite podcast app, search for Valenti Show with Rico, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way on your time.
Heads or tails?
Heads.
Gator calls heads, and it is tails. And let me see here. I will receive.
Oh, that was thought out, Doug.
I know, right?
I mean, really.
I'm trying to figure out which questions I want to answer first.
All right, here we go. Question number one, guys. Indiana smoked Illinois 63-10. They play at Iowa Saturday. Of the Iowa game, Cignetti said, "Iowa's a tough place to play. They sell out almost every Saturday. It's loud. We're going to have to play well. This will be a challenge, a more difficult challenge than the last one for sure." Do you like Cignetti?
Shots fired at Illinois.
That's right.
Let me be clear. He is so good for Indiana and Indiana football. He's probably the best thing that's happened to them, and I can't stand him. I cannot stand him. Does anyone like someone telling you how right they are about everything? Does anyone like that? How great they are? It's honestly annoying, but his line when he got hired, "Google me, I win." First, I thought it was kind of a funny line, and then I realized, no.
He's just
He's that kind of arrogant, smarmy jerk. He's the worst, and he's so impressed with himself. Screw that guy. Great for Indiana. And if I were an Indiana fan, I'd love him. But if he ever has a step back, oh, coaches are going to run up the score.
Look, I respect him as a coach. He's clearly one of the better motivators and teachers. But he comes in too hot for me to really get on board and like the guy. He's perhaps even great, but I'm not a fan of cockiness at all when it comes to that. But I do love the effect it has on Indiana. I love that all the students are at the games. They're packing that place. I love that Indiana is relevant, mm-hmm. and they deserve to be relevant. I love that there's a new rooster in the hen house, so to speak, of the Big Ten. And you talk about the cock of the walk. This guy is trying to be that. I think we'll have a different opinion if we're able to. I don't know if they play Penn State this year, but if they beat Penn State, they might change my opinion. I'll just love the guy.
I think they only play at Oregon.
So I like him for Indiana. I like him for the Big Ten. I like him for college football. But I don't really like him. You know, so I'm right. kind of on the same board as you guys. I think this is one of the things that separates college football and the pros, which I want them to be separate, by the way, is the coaches. They're able to have these type of personalities, and I think it is good. But I think it's real, Doug. You're right. I think he needs some humility, though, and that goes a long way, for me at least. But like I said, I go back to my original answer. I do like him for Indiana and college football.
They do play at Oregon and at Penn State. Good luck.
So, yeah, I guess we're all in agreement on Cignetti. Like him for the game, but not necessarily want to chill with this guy.
Yeah.
All right, Ohio State is number one in the country, but have they been the most impressive team so far?
I don't think they've been the most impressive team, but I think Ohio State's pretty damn great. But I think Miami, what they've done is more impressive. They started the season. Look, Ohio State beat Texas to start the year 14-7. That was impressive, very impressive. But I like what Miami did. They beat Notre Dame to start the year. A lot of hype about that game, too. Their defense is no joke. They've got playmakers there that just really want to tear your head off. They're back to their old swagger of the U days. And I'm curious to see what they're going to do. They have a bye this week. It's next week when they go to Tallahassee to take on Florida State. That's going to be a massive game, but I really have been impressed with what Miami's done. Plus, they got a big-time college transfer quarterback, and Carson Beck got him away from Georgia, and they're making things happen there.
In Doug Pomm, Miami's number one. And this is the problem with rankings and preseason rankings. I think the rankings should be who has earned it on the field in the snapshot of time that is that season. Not who do you think is the best team. Miami's resume is, I think, almost easily the best. They beat Notre Dame, South Florida, who's legit, and Florida. And you could say, oh, Notre Dame's 1-2 or Florida's not what they used to be. They're better than like Georgia State or Jacksonville State or Bethune-Cookman or all these other teams that schools are fattening up on. So I think they've earned it. I agree with you, Miami.
You two fools. It's clearly Miami. The Hurricanes have beaten two ranked opponents. They've turned in another complete performance with a 19-point win over Florida. This is their highest ranking since 2017. And just maybe, Carson Beck is finally good. I've been asking this his whole college career. Is this guy supposed to be good? Maybe he is this year. All right, no team outside the power conferences are ranked. Should there be one?
North Texas deserves a look. Ohio U deserves a look. But, yeah, South Florida deserves to be ranked. They held Boise to 7 points. Since then, Boise has averaged 50 points a game. Yeah, South Florida lost to Miami. We just talked about how good Miami is. But they also beat Florida, which, again, better than a lot of teams that get fattened up on non-conference cupcakes. So, yeah, I would put South Florida in my top 25.
It's tough to say that any of them belong in there, but if I'm going to pick one, I'm going to go with North Texas, the Mean Green. First of all, the name Mean Green is fantastic.
It's awesome.
I believe North Texas is also where a bunch of professional wrestlers matriculated from, including Stone Cold Steve Austin. So that's kind of cool. But beyond that, they averaged 47 points.
Beyond that.
They averaged 47 points a game. They smoked Washington State. Now, Washington State isn't what they have been, but it's still a name program, right?
Right. Yep.
59-10. Then they went out and beat Army last week in a back-and-forth showdown, 45-38. They're putting up points. If I'm going to go with one, I'm going to go with the Mean Green.
Probably not, guys. And this is the way they want it. They want the power conferences only, all right? They don't want the crap conferences like you call them in college basketball, Gator, even in this dance. So goodbye to the small schools. Hello to only the big, powerful schools with all the money. This is the new college football. Sorry, guys. No more small schools. All right, last Saturday, as Maryland was blasting Wisconsin, chants of Fire Fickell rained down from the fans. Will Fickell survive?
I don't think he will, and I'm amazed, and yet I'm not amazed. It's Luke Fickell, and I hate to be fickle about Fickell, but I'm going to be. Remember when Luke Fickell had to take over at Ohio State and how bad they were? They were kind of handcuffed there, but with the quarterback situation, but they were still Ohio State, and they weren't good at all. And then Urban Meyer came in and went undefeated right away. Luke Fickell went on and became a pretty good coach elsewhere.
Cincinnati.
Michigan State went out and did their coaching search. They had Luke Fickell. He was ready to come on board. And then the last second, he had a change of heart. And Spartan fans were really down the doldrums about that. And then Mel Tucker had a couple good seasons. We were all better about it. But Luke Fickell going to Wisconsin has been a disaster. Wisconsin's been this great, steady program. Barry Alvarez took it to new heights and turned things over. Brett Bielema was great. Heck, even the guy who was the coordinator for Notre Dame, whoever it was, that took over there for a little bit.
Paul Chryst.
Even Paul Chryst did okay. For Luke Fickell to completely drop the ball with this team, they've lost their identity, what they are, it's pathetic. He's got to go.
Paul Chryst had a .723 winning percentage at Wisconsin. The current athletic director, Chris McIntosh, fired him and brought in Luke Fickell, who's 15-15. I think that AD is tied to Luke Fickell, and the buyout's $25 million. I think he survives this year because I think McIntosh is tied to him. And, you know, he made a controversial decision to move on from Chryst. And Chryst had adopted and was part of the Wisconsin identity. The W on the side of the helmet now stands for why? Why did you change away from Wisconsin power football?
They're going to need some of that Kohl's cash to buy him out.
and the irony is McIntosh was seen with Mike McCarthy at a Wisconsin volleyball game this week. And everyone's going, ooh, McCarthy. And I'm like, he's not going to show up in public with a guy he might be interviewing. You'd meet him in a ballroom in a hotel in Kenosha. You wouldn't let anybody see you with him. But I think he survives.
I think I've been to that card show in Kenosha, actually. It's not bad. No, he's not going to survive, man. This is the college football coaches are hired to be fired. And the buyout thing, I don't even think matters to schools anymore. Some of these exorbitant amounts that they're willing to pay up just to get, you know, the fan base back on their side. And college football matters so much now that I don't think he lasts. The ACC ADs voted in favor of a regular season schedule that includes 9 conference games. In a conference with an odd number of teams, 16 of the 17 teams will play 9 games, and one team will play 8 conference games. What do you think of this scheduling dynamic?
It's a further example of how stupid conference expansion is. We don't have true champions. How can you have one team playing fewer games? The math doesn't math. Nobody likes conference expansion. Who likes conference expansion? And it waters down all championships because of the variance in schedule. But hey, money. So I can't stand stuff like this.
Yeah, this is it's amazing to me because, you know, I'm not a math guy.
Yeah.
And yet this is beyond dumb. I expected more, frankly, from the ACC with the collective brain power, the universities they have. I mean, this isn't a dumb conference. They've got some pretty impressive institutions there. And yet this happens. Even Gronk knows this make no sense.
You think Gronk knows? I'm not sure.
I think Gronk knows.
Math going to math. They'll be fine. They obviously know that this was going to happen, and they're just going to add more teams at some point anyways. And I think overall, more conference games are better than non-conference crappy games with crap schools. Right, Gator? Crap schools. Last one, guys. Oklahoma State fires. I'm a man. I'm 40. I'm Mike Gundy yesterday. Your thoughts?
Yeah, he's 58 now, which is funny to think that because when he made that declaration, that was the first year that we started the show together as the midday show of Carson Anderson. And I like Mike Gundy a lot. I thought he had some spice. I think this is unfair to let them go at this point. I mean, it's a couple years ago, they won 10 games. In 2021, they won 12 games. It's just last year was a bad year. They won three, and then this year they're off to a 1-2 start, and they're going to say enough with a guy who is a legacy guy there. It rubs me the wrong way.
I agree with you, but it tells me something happened because coaches generally don't get fired on Tuesday of game week. They get fired before they meet with the media on Monday. And he met with the media and got fired on Tuesday. I bet something happened. Whether some donor swooped in and offered a massive amount of money to buy him out, or he had a run-in with the athletic director, something must have happened. And I feel like we'll get the rest of the story eventually.
How do I feel? Nailed it. All right, I don't feel bad for any college football coach. I mean, I predicted he would be the one fired. I actually was still surprised that he got fired. But the buyout, these guys have awesome buyouts. And I mentioned earlier, they're hired to be fired. He's going to get a ton of money, and it's now win or get out and get an awesome buyout. But yeah, something may have happened behind the scenes, Doug, but with Gundy, man, you know, he likes to shoot off at the mouth, and who knows what he said.
So there you go. That concludes the college football blitz thingy. We'll get back to your Tiger calls next. People are frustrated. We get it. I'm at stage three with something as it pertains to the Tigers. That at 10:50. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1. FanDuel is getting you ready for kickoff with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right. Pick a bet, bet $5, and if it wins, you unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. So my advice is to avoid the parlays or prop bets or futures. Just find a heavy favorite and bet on them on the money line. They don't have to cover a point spread. They just have to win. And when they do, guess what? You get your $300 in bonus bets. Then you can do all the futures and props you want. All right, Gator. It is now completely shifted. Stage one is acknowledgement. Stage two is actually respect. Stage three, respect starts to fade, and I develop a healthy and strong dislike. And stage four is good old-fashioned, pure, intense disdain. I'm at stage three with Stephen Kwan. We've spent the last year really kind of acknowledging how good you are. And then, you know, when the Tigers were up 5.5 and Cleveland came in and Kwan was driving us crazy with all of his great plays, respect. You've got to respect Stephen Kwan. I've had enough of this effing guy.
Mm-hmm.
And last night, I mean, even between the first inning, the ball he chased down in the corner that could have been trouble, to the bunt single that started the unraveling, to the double that basically buried the Tigers. I think a team of Kwans would be unbeatable, of all Kwans. I'm moving quickly through. It might be a rapid movement through stage three and directly into stage four.
Look, I hear
F
you.
This guy.
I completely understand. Last year was like season one. You know, you get to the postseason and you have to face Kwan and things happen. But this is season two. And unfortunately, it's season two, the wrath of Kwan.
It is.
Kwan! That's where we're at right now. He's too good. At least against the Tigers.
Against the Tigers.
I swear to God, that series in Detroit, he saved at least five runs in that series. He single-handedly won them the series.
I think if Stephen Kwan was out, the Tigers, like for a few games, the Tigers win the division.
I think a team of Kwan's beats a team of Ditka's. Mini Ditka or Big Ditka, doesn't matter. Kwan's will come out on top.
And Kwan's I've watched, he's the most annoying.
Yep.
So good. And that's every little damn thing.
Every little singles, damn thing.
Here's a double down the line. Of course you're going to hit a double because you're Kwan. You're going to take an extra base and... You know,
I'm going to chase that well-hit ball down.
God, so annoying. They're a two-man team, and those two guys get everything done.
Right.
Ramirez and Kwan. Kwan and Ramirez. And the Tigers don't have an answer for it. And last night, you get into, was it the seventh inning, where they brought in Tommy Canely, and he strikes out the first two guys. He looks amazing. It's the same pitch. Here's a changeup. Here's a changeup. How about a changeup? Can you hit the changeup? Here's another changeup. And strikes out two guys, no problem. Then gets ahead 1-2, and the next pitch is a beautifully located changeup to the bottom of the strike zone. probably wasn't a strike by the ABS system, which thank God is coming in next year, but it was close. And the way the umpire was all over the place last night, you would have thought that's a called third strike, and it wasn't. And then Canely can't throw a pitch into strike zone. He walks the batter. And then A.J. Hinch comes out with a quick hook to grab Canely, get him out of there, and bring in Kyle Finnegan. And Finnegan makes, is this just his second appearance coming back from the IL, and met with disastrous results again. He gives up the hit to Kwan. And A.J. defended it at the end after the game, saying, well, they flipped the lineup to go back to the top with Kwan, and we had wanted to use Finnegan against Kwan, which I totally understand. But it's one of these things that's going to be second-guessed.
Yep.
Because Canely was doing just fine, got a little rough trouble with the next batter. But to see Canely against Kwan, Finnegan against Kwan, I don't know. I was hoping that you could wait to Finnegan for the next inning, but it was just one batter. So I'm not killing him over it, but it had horrific and disastrous results. And to your point about being at stage three on the Kwan hating scale, the full evolution.
Yep.
I get it. He's too good.
Jim and Fraser, you're on 97 on the ticket. Hi, Jim.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
You know, one thing that I don't understand, and this is driving me crazy, is I'm watching the game yesterday, and Kinstry gets a double, and Perez gets a single, brings him home, or don't got a double, brought him home. So he's at second, nobody out. And here comes Sweeney coming up. Now, the odds of him getting a hit is probably slim to none. Why wouldn't you bunt him, have him bunt, and I know Hinge don't bunt, but bunt him over to third, and then guess who hit the fly ball? Meadows hit a long fly ball, would have brought him home. Now you got a 2-0 lead. I don't understand some of this coaching. Why?
I'll help you out, Jim.
Yeah.
A.J. Hinch just doesn't believe in a bunt. Some managers don't, and I think it's obvious he doesn't. And though I could kind of agree with you because it's Sweeney, and Sweeney has not been swinging a good bat at all. He had like a 3-week stint where he did, and it was a while back. He seemed like he'd be a perfect candidate to do it, but this is not a team that bunts.
Yeah.
It's just not. It's not in their DNA. Is it something they're going to work on in the offseason? Because it's not something you can fix overnight. I mean, you got to practice it. And I don't know if they're going to make an emphasis of it in spring training or if they're going to completely ignore it again, because some teams just ignore it, and the Tigers happen to be one of them.
Well, the other one that bothered me, another one is, and it's the same thing. You had bases loaded, McKinstry up, which I understand he's been ripping the ball off that starter for a few games. But again, you got your best player in mind. Let's play a small ball and move guys over. What about bunting him in, move another run? Now you've got a 3-0 lead instead of 1-0.
And the only thing I can think of is he's playing for the big inning is what I'm thinking, because he doesn't – because they don't get big innings. And he imagines that we're going to have a big inning eventually. We're going to have one of those innings where we put up 5-6 runs. I don't want to give up an out. They're due a big inning. They used to have big innings. Remember big innings.
No, it was just a couple weeks ago they had the 10 runners.
Yeah.
Right?
One of them was gifted to them, but yes. Yeah.
But nonetheless, they started with the first 10 batters reach base or whatever it was.
Joe on a cell, you're on 97 on the ticket. What's up, Joe?
Hey, thanks, guys. Long time. Real quick, is anybody connected the dots that, you know, Chris Ilitch may not be Mr. I, and the Red Wings kind of did a similar thing?
It gets plenty of talk, yes. It does.
Yeah, okay. Well, the other thing then, I guess, would be, if you guys really want to have some fun with this, is Kwan in pizza. You could celebrate Kwanzaa and just give up now and let the Red Wings /Tigers and Ilitch figure out how to market pizza when everybody stops buying it here.
I will tell you this, Joe, as far as giving up, this Tiger team is making me want to give up. It's so hard to watch. This is so hard to watch. And I did flip to the Michigan State-Indiana soccer game last night.
I mean, they got Riley Green hits the home run. You're feeling like they're back on track. And then right after
The thing is, when he hit the home run, I'm like, there's nobody on base. It feels like they only hit home runs now when there's nobody on base. They had the bases loaded and a chance to bury them.
They couldn't
the inning before, and they couldn't do it.
It's death by a million paper cuts.
It's a million freaking paper cuts. And it's been going on for a few weeks here, and this is – my frustration is unmatched.
I mean, it's September 24th. Any kind of mixing and matching of trying to bring guys up and send guys down, it's too late. It's too late for that. They're doing all that with a bullpen, but they can't do that with the lineup. At least I don't think they can do that with the lineup. It's you're literally tied for the division now. You can still, technically, it's everything is still in their own hands. They do control their own destiny. That's the only silver lining out of all this, is despite all the losing and all the winning that Cleveland's done, which is the exact counter of this whole thing, because it's not just the Tigers being god-awful. It's Cleveland being unstoppable. Despite all that, the Tigers can still control their own destiny here. And it starts tonight.
They haven't controlled their own destiny even when they controlled their own destiny.
Well, I mean, they do, though. They literally do.
I know. Factually, they do. But, Gator, I'm not counting on anything. I'm not a give-up guy. You know I'm not a give-up guy.
I'm not a give-up guy either.
They are pushing, testing the boundaries.
Look, I'm as optimistic as it comes, right? I try to see glasses half full. I try to find something positive out of things, but I'm not stupid.
I know, right?
I see what's happening here. It's mind-boggling what has happened.
I'm so close to screw these guys, I'm going home. 248-539-9797.
Easy, Cartman.
Carson Anderson, 97.1.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Rico Beard. Did you know the Valenti Show with Rico is not just a radio show, but also a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Catch the full episode, listen to individual hours, or just jump straight to the highlights. Open up your favorite podcast app, search for Valenti Show with Rico, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way on your time.